our Lord and Savior. Amen. I have a question for you. How many here have heard or read the book by Charles Dickens entitled A Tale of Two Cities? Raise your hand if you're familiar with that story. A few of you. Well, if you've not read the story, I'd encourage you to do it sometime. It's a very good story. In fact, even though the story itself is fiction, the setting is the real life events that took place in London and Paris during the time of the French Revolution. Now, during the French Revolution, the lower economic classes in France were rising up against the upper classes, as well as the political parties that supported the upper classes. Sadly, I have to admit, those in the upper classes did a lot to oppress those who were in the lower economic classes. But the lower classes who eventually revolted, well, they ended up being guilty of even worse evils than those who had oppressed them. For example, during the French Revolution, many innocent people were killed. Many were executed, even though they had no fair trial and there was no evidence against them. Others were executed simply because of their political views. Now, in the book, A Tale of Two Cities, a man by the name of Charles Darnay was sentenced to death even though he was not guilty of any crime deserving death. Charles Darnay was imprisoned in Paris, awaiting execution. Charles Darnay was sentenced to die by the guillotine, a device that would behead people and thereby end their lives. But there was another important character in this book. His name is Sidney Carton. Now, I don't have near enough time to give you all the details of the story, so what I will do is give you the ending. At the end of the story, Sidney Carton decides to rescue Charles Darnay so that Charles can escape with his family and flee to London, where they'll be safe. But how does Sidney Carton plan to rescue Charles Darnay from this prison he's in? Well, after much thinking and plotting, Sidney decides to make an exchange. You see, even though Sidney Carton does not deserve death either, he decides to switch places with Charles Darnay in prison and then die in his place. That will give Charles Darnay time to flee the country with his family. Therefore, Sidney visits Charles in prison. But during the visit, Sidney drugs Charles, and while he is incapacitated, Sidney switches clothing with him. After this is done, Sidney calls for the guard. And when the guard arrives, Sidney pretends to be Charles. And then he tells the guard that his visitor has become ill and should be rushed back to his family. Well, apparently the guard hadn't been paying a lot of attention about what prisoner was what, and the guard doesn't recognize that a switch has been made. And so Charles Darnay, disguised as Sidney Carton, is taken to his family. But the prison thinks that Charles is still in the cell, when in truth, Sidney Carton has taken his place. Now you might wonder why Sidney would do it this way. I mean, why doesn't he just try to break him out of prison? Well, Sidney's just one man and there's a ton of guards. There's really no possible way that he could break his friend out of prison. So Sidney chooses to switch places with Charles instead, in the hope that Charles will escape without anyone noticing, because the guards will wrongly think that Charles is still in the cell, when in fact, it's actually Sidney taking his place. Now, Sidney stays in the cell all the way up to the moment which would have been Charles's execution. He does this in order to give Charles as much time as possible to escape with his family unbeknownst to the prison guards. Well, eventually, Sidney is taken to the guillotine, and the staff still thinks that he's Charles. Sidney is then placed on the guillotine. But before he dies, Sidney Carton speaks these words to himself, and even if you haven't read the book, you might be familiar with these words. Sidney says, "It is a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done. It is a far, far better rest that I go to than I have ever known." Let me make a couple comments about that statement. First of all, here we see, like we heard during our vacation Bible school this past week, here we see that there's no greater love than a friend lay down his life for another friend. The second point is that here we see that Sidney, even in the face of death, has hope. He knows that his life will not end here, that there is a life after death. And in a bit, we will see why he has this hope. Having said all that, I hope you can see what a wonderful story of loving self-sacrifice this is. One man giving his life for the sake of another. But you know what? You and I know an even better story, don't we? In fact, the better story that we know is not fiction. The better story that we know actually happened. In our reading from 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes the following: "God made Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." You know, Martin Luther loved that text that I just read for you. In fact, Martin Luther called this text the Great Exchange. I can't help but wonder if Charles Dickens had this passage of scripture in mind when he wrote A Tale of Two Cities. But of course, we need to realize that the death of Christ, even though similar to what Sidney Carton did, is also very, very different as well. Therefore, I will now briefly describe four significant differences between the sacrifice that was made by Sidney Carton and the sacrifice that was made by Jesus. And as we examine these four differences together, we will learn how much our Savior loves us, and we will also better appreciate the freedom that Jesus has given us. So here's the first difference. The cross is not the guillotine. Let me say that again. The cross is not the guillotine. You see, the guillotine was invented for mass execution. It was also intended to be quick and easy. Your head was instantly severed from your body, and so you were dead before you could feel any real pain. But the cross was different. Jesus died as a result of one of the most horrible forms of execution ever invented. Death on the cross was slow, and it caused great pain and agony. So even though Carton gave his life for a friend, he also knew that his death would be quick and painless. In contrast, Jesus knew that his death would be slow and very, very painful. Now for the second difference. Carton sacrificed himself for an innocent man, but Jesus sacrificed himself for the guilty. Let me say that again. Sidney sacrificed himself for an innocent man, but Jesus sacrificed himself for the guilty. You see, Jesus died for us sinners who are condemned by God's law, and therefore we deserve present and eternal punishment. Think about it for a second. It's one thing to give your life for a good person who's innocent, But it's quite another thing to give your life for people who you know are evil and deserve death. But that's exactly what Jesus did for us. I want you to listen carefully to what Paul writes in Romans chapter 5. Listen to these words. He says, "At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And now we're ready for the third difference between the sacrifice of Sidney Carton and the sacrifice of Jesus. The third difference is this: Sidney was a sinner, but Jesus was innocent, righteous, and holy. You see, many people who read A Tale of Two Cities wrongly conclude that Sidney Carton was a saint. Here's what they think when they read the book. They think, oh, what a wonderful person that Sidney Carton was. I mean, he was willing to give his life for another. If anyone deserves to go to heaven, it was a man like Sidney Carton. But the truth is that Sidney Carton was a sinner just like you and I. Even though Sidney Carton did a wonderful thing, his sacrifice did not change the fact that he also had sinned against God his whole life, just like you and I. However, in contrast, Jesus was and is the only human who was sinless and holy. Jesus was and is a perfect man. Jesus obeyed God perfectly. Unlike Carton, Jesus was truly innocent before God. Now, what does this third difference teach us? It teaches us that we cannot stand before God and claim that we deserve His mercy based on who we are and the good things we have done. You see, some people wrongly think that if they do some wonderful deed or perform some sacrificial act of charity, that this will somehow make up for the sins they have done throughout their lives. But this is a lie of the devil, my friends. No matter how many good things we do, even if we lay down our life for somebody, the guilt of our sin remains. But the good news is that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross not only washes away the guilt of our sin, Jesus also clothes us with his own righteousness and innocence. We receive both of those gifts in holy baptism. In holy baptism, the guilt of our sin is washed away by the power of Jesus' shed blood. And in the same way, in holy baptism, we are clothed with the righteous life of Christ. This fact reminds me of what Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3. He says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." So then, being holy before God has nothing to do with who we are and the good things we may do, even though that idea goes in direct conflict with what most people think. Instead, being holy before God has everything to do with Christ and what He has done for us. In fact, that's why God uses His word to humble us and convict us of sin, because then God gives us faith in Christ so that we might become new creations through faith in Him. When God convicts us of sin and brings us to faith in Jesus, that's when we become new creations. As new creations, God moves us to live in daily repentance and faith, confessing our sins to God and rejoicing in the forgiveness and the righteousness that we have because of Jesus' sacrifice for us. In fact, this wonderful salvation moves us to do good works, not in order to earn salvation, but because we're already saved. And by our good works, we give glory to God who loved us enough to sacrifice himself for us. And now, we're ready for the fourth and final difference between the sacrifice made by Sidney Carton versus the sacrifice made by Jesus. Simply put, as Carton faced death by the guillotine, he knew one thing for sure. He knew that he could not save himself after he died. No one can raise themselves from the dead. However, Jesus did. You see, not only was Jesus a perfect human, unlike Sidney Carton, Jesus was also God himself. Jesus therefore conquered death for all of us. Think about it. When Sidney Carton gave his life for Darnay, Carton knew that he would face death. Carton chose to do this because he loved his friend, but there is one thing that Carton could not choose to do. Carton could not choose to bring himself back to life again. Carton did not have this power over death. Carton knew that someone else would have to give him hope in the face of death. But who can give life to those who've already died? Well, you know the answer. Jesus. Jesus willingly gave his life for us, but he also willingly conquered death for us when he rose from the grave on the third day after his death on the cross. You see, even though Jesus was a perfect human, he was also fully God. Therefore, Jesus not only had the authority to lay down his life, he also had the authority to take it up again. In fact, I'm sure that this is what gave Sidney Carton such hope as he faced death by the guillotine. Carton knew that he was going to a far, far better place. Carton had this hope because he knew that Jesus was his Savior and that Jesus would give him a future resurrection and eternal life with God. In closing, I'd like to read a short phrase from the very beginning of A Tale of Two Cities. This book by Charles Dickens begins with these famous words, and again, even if you've never read the book, I'm sure you will have heard of these words. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. My friends, the people of that time in history who lived in safe and secure places, the people who were enjoying the good things of life back then, I'm sure they concluded that they were living in the best of times. On the other hand, during that same time of history, those who were experiencing the evil of the French Revolution probably concluded that it was the worst of times for them. You know, we Christians who live in America, we have it very, very good. We could call this the best of times. But there are other Christians today who live in other parts of the world who are facing persecution constantly simply because they believe in Jesus. They are driven from their homes, fired from their jobs, in some cases killed. I'm sure that they would now call this the worst of times. But whatever our experience in life may be, we must keep our focus on that one point in history. The point when Jesus was hanging on the cross for us. And my friends, that event was both the best of times and the worst of times. Christ's death on the cross was the worst of times because the innocent, holy Son of God was suffering and dying on a horrible instrument of execution. But Christ's death on the cross was also the best of times. You see, the cross was God's way of showing love for His enemies and rescuing us from ourselves so that we could be free to live as God's children, now and for eternity. Today, you have heard about the Great Exchange. There was a great exchange at the end of the fictional book, A Tale of Two Cities. But you know, there's even a greater exchange that we heard about today, and this exchange is true. The greatest exchange took place almost 2,000 years ago, and this great exchange continues to set people free still today. We heard about this great exchange at the end of our gospel reading. Jesus, our Savior, said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.